Gorgeous day out here as the Giants and the Mariners coming up right here. Blanco, Belt, Posey, Sandoval, Abreu, Perez, Kieschnick, Noonan at second, and Adrianza at shortstop. Andy Baggerly joins us from CSN Bay Area. You can follow him. Extra Bags is what I love to call you, but it's CSN Bags, right?
It is. I went with two corporate.
G's.
It's a good old corporate name, Marty, for our good friends at CSN Bay Area.
Every time I look at you, I say, I call you Extra.
You can do that.
That's what I call you. All right.
Hey. I won't tell you what I call you when you're not around.
Thank you so much. Adrianza at short today, Noonan at second. Why don't they flip it? Come on, Adrianza may play second base.
Well, he did play second base yesterday in surprise, Marty. Now, I know
there.
That you weren't there in surprise to see it.
That's correct.
You didn't go to surprise. Apparently, you're a veteran, and you can skip those long road trips to the other side of the valley.
Wotus did not have me on the list.
No?
That's correct.
Why?
Because he's on with me every Sunday, and I said, I ain't going. And he said, okay.
Well, anyway, Adrianza did play second base the last four innings and handled a line drive hit right at him. And he told me that he grew up playing second base in Venezuela. He really didn't hit a growth spurt until he was around high school age, and so he was always one of the smaller kids on the field. It's kind of funny because when I played Little League, I was the smallest kid on the field, and I played second base. So that was his position. He wasn't big enough to play short. And then he hit that growth spurt, and, of course, he's just a fabulous shortstop. And that became his position as a pro. But he said, hey, I'm comfortable at second base. That's what I played when I was a kid.
You know, it's funny. As we go through spring training, I was just saying to Alex how fast it's going for me. It really is. I'm going to do the postgame show tomorrow out in Glendale with Kershaw and the Dodgers tomorrow. And then, heck, it's Investors Weekend next weekend and the tumult of everybody coming in next weekend. And I said to myself, is there really competition for any spots in this camp? Now, Minakazi's a great story, and, you know, he's a national story now, and we talk about Adrianza. But as we get through spring training, you know, there'll be 2 weeks to go next weekend. Is there any real competition here for a spot on this roster?
I think so. I think there's quite a bit, actually. In fact, the competition might be even more open than it was when the spring began. If you look at the way Yusmeiro Petitas pitched, and he certainly has opened the door a little bit to some guys like David Huff or even a Cameron Lowe being considered for a long man spot. And then you've got two more spots in the bullpen, and the list of names vying for those spots is pretty long. You've got Contos, Machi, Jake Dunning. We always forget about Jake Dunning.
He'll be out there today.
But he's looked pretty good this spring, and I know they think a lot of him. And then you've got Derek Law, Heath Hembree, and then there's a lot more. Jose DePaula has looked really good as well. And then you've got, of course, what they're going to do with the bench, because there's not a lot of power on that bench, as we know. We know they want a fifth outfielder because they're going to want to put in Blanco for Morse, do sort of the Pat Burrell approach in left field when they got a lead after six or seven. So they think, well, we need one more outfielder to cover ourselves. But then the only real box they're in terms of roster stuff is with Abreu and Adrianza, because those two guys are out of options. And one of them is going to be on the team. It's hard to imagine, unless they decide to go with four outfielders, it's hard to imagine both of them being on the team. Then you start thinking about, is there going to be a trade? Or, hey, we still got to see Marco Scudero on the field, though. Yeah. And everyone's optimistic, but we still haven't seen him on the field. And this is not a Freddie Sanchez situation. Right. It's not like he can't throw. If he can't throw, you can't play infield. He can play with that back injury, but they just don't want to push him. But they do have to think about a plan B at this point. And who knows? Maybe Scudero's not ready to go, and they can open with both Abreu and Adrianza. But anyway, you got two, maybe three bullpen spots, and then a couple bench spots. And yeah, maybe Mark Minakazi just keeps hitting everything in sight, and this story keeps getting better and better. Who knows?
Well, it's great for him. If it gets better and better, let him go to Fresno and hit .380. And, you know, this is a long season, as I like to say. You know that. It's a long season.
It is.
And you can, you know, you want people down there to show you something, like a DePaula. You know, you want people like that. You bring up Petit, it's interesting. He's pitched awfully down there. I mean, it's awful. And is he working on things? Who knows? But every time you look at him, he's getting lit up. But then you can't. Are you going to lose him? Are you going to, you know, expose Petit to waivers? Would anyone take him?
Well, they've exposed him a couple times in the past.
Nobody ever
takes him. He got through. Yeah. Now, he did probably put together some pretty good scouting reports with the way he pitched last September. Yeah. And Bochy even said before this spring began, look, we kind of expect that he might get roughed up a little bit. A, he's a sort of a finesse pitcher, and those guys sometimes can give up a lot of hits and runs here in Arizona. And the other thing is he didn't pitch any winter ball, which he usually does. but they thought it was better to give him that time off since he pitched all the way through September with the Giants. And so he's getting himself into pitching shape a little bit, where normally he's ahead of the game, and it's been slow going. So let's you know, see him a few more times and see what kind of adjustment he can make. Bochy's made it pretty clear that, hey, we're going to give Petit the benefit of the doubt if he doesn't look so great down here. But then again, if he's still getting lit up in another 2 weeks, then that's certainly that job is going to come open.
Boy, it becomes interesting. Andy Baggerly joins us from CSN Bay Area. CSN Bags with two G's on Twitter as well. You've gotten a good look at Mike Morse now for at least a couple of weeks. What do you think of him?
He's really interesting. He's a very different guy. He's kind of like Hunter Pence, but a little loopier. He's got a little goofy streak in him. What I love is modern ball players today. He sends a tweet to Brandon Crawford saying, "Hey, buddy, are you taking the bus or a car to Surprise?" And of course, he uses emoticons for the bus and the car. And meanwhile, the fact his locker is about 8 feet away from Crawford's, but he sends him a tweet to find out. I think that's the way that Whitey Ford and Mickey Mantle did it back in the day, right?
You know, not exactly.
They tweet each other with emoticons.
They threw beer cans at each other.
Yeah. You know, you never know what he's going to say or what he's going to do. He's definitely a guy you can tell just has a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Really enjoys what he does, enjoys life. And
is he for real, though, as a hitter? Yeah, you know, have you seen enough of him to get a beat on him as a hitter?
He doesn't have a home run yet this spring, Marty. That's a big concern, isn't it?
He should have had two.
Exactly. That's my point. Josh Reddick took two away from him, and Maxwell of Kansas City made a diving catch on him
that.
In right field yesterday as well.
I heard about that.
What I'm really interested to see is how his power is going to play at AT&T Park, because we know he's so good at hitting the ball the other way. Now, is he going to get enough of them to hit those off the bricks for doubles, or in some cases singles because they're hit so hard? Or are they just going to be outs? Because we've seen so many guys, Aaron Rowan's a good example. He's a guy who had pretty good gap power, and it just disappeared. All those outs to the right fielder frustrated him and changed his approach. Well, Morse changed his approach and tried to dead pull everything. If he's not getting the results at AT&T early on. That's going to be really interesting to watch.
It will be. And, you know, I'll let you go. And, Andy, nice enough to be here with us. You going to Glendale tomorrow?
I am.
Oh,
yep.
Good, good. So hopefully we'll have you on if there's some time tomorrow
out
there. But for Morse, where does he hit in the order? Because you better protect him, because he wants to do damage. And if you have him seventh with an eight-hitter behind him, he may not get the pitches to hit. And that to me is, I want someone behind him, and I think he'll have a better season.
Well, I think he probably would be the seven hitter against right-handers. I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised, and Bruce Bochy's talked to me about this, having two fairly different lineups, lefty and righty.
Okay.
Against left-handers, I think he would look to move Brandon Belt down and move Morse up. Maybe even move Morse into something as high as the cleanup spot.
Really?
You know, maybe Posey hits third against lefties and fourth against righties. I'll bet you could see quite a bit of that. So it's interesting. We're setting up to see sort of the same guys every day.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want to line up with the same guys in there with a lot of continuity. But I do think that Bochy is going to have a little bit of a different look for left-handed pitchers than he will right-handers, because we know they were 40-19 against lefties they won the World Series in 2012. Last year, they were about 6 or 7 games under 500. Yeah. And as Bam Bam told me the other day, a big part of that is their switch hitters being better from the right side, especially Pablo Sandoval, and he's looked great from the right side.
Hey.
And if you haven't read it, on CSNBayArea.com, his right-handed hitting coach this spring is probably the best right-handed hitting coach on the planet. So check out that story. That's up on my archive.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Marty.
All right. That is Andy Baggerly. Always great to have him. All right. We want to thank John Wilson and Raff and Anthony Hopkins for doing a great job today. Beer Can, of course, on site here doing a job with us producing the show.